John 2:24. "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So tonight's talk is titled, "What's So Special About Worship?" Now, I'm not going to do this, but if I were to ask you the question, "What's so special about worship?" you'd probably think back just a few moments to when Niku was leading us in our worship songs, and you'd probably say all sorts of things that would really embarrass him. So that's why I'm not going to ask you, I'm going to say it all. And I think we would think about the things that are so great about singing together, how we get a real sense of the presence of God and how precious it is to join together and to be able to sing about who he is and what he's done and just declare our praise. And it's special because it's time where we're focused fully on God. And I think worship songs certainly do all those things, and it's really precious. But worship is even more special than that. There is more, and this passage takes us even deeper into what worship really is. So we're going to go and dig into this passage. So let's just go back, take a step back, and we'll have a little think about what's going on. So Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. So who were the Samaritans? Well, near the beginning of Old Testament times, there were 12 tribes of Israel, but there was a split. And the northern kingdom of Israel had 10 tribes, and there was a southern kingdom of Judah with 2 tribes, and it was from the southern kingdom of Judah that Jesus eventually was born into. But the Samaritans were part of this northern kingdom, and they were a group of people who had intermarried with the Assyrians when the northern kingdom was conquered. And so their religion was kind of very similar to the Jewish religion in some ways, but also quite different. So both of the groups descended from Abraham. They both thought that God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They both thought that Moses was the lawgiver. They both had the first 5 books of the Old Testament. So they had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So there was lots of similarities. But there were also a few differences. So the Jewish people considered Jerusalem to be the holy city, and that was like the focus of their religious interaction with God, and so there'd be pilgrimages to go to Jerusalem. But the Samaritans thought of Mount Gerizim as their kind of holy place, and so they would do their pilgrimages to there. So when Jesus says in verse 21, "Believe me, a time is coming when you'll worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem," he's being really controversial, because he's saying something new is coming. There's going to be something different. It's not about going to Jerusalem. It's not about going to the mountain. It's something else. And instead, he says in verse 23, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth." So there's no mention of a place. There's no mention of going to a temple or a mountain, no mention of sacrifices. True worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. So to help us understand what he's getting out here, there's 3 key words that we need to get: worship, Spirit, and truth. So let's unpack each one of those. So first of all, worship. So we said at the beginning, we might automatically associate worship with singing. And that definitely is an expression of worship. But if we go back to the original word that was written in the Gospel in the Greek, the word actually means to kiss the ground when prostrating before a superior. To kiss the ground when prostrating before a superior. So that's a really graphic image. And it's not a practice that we see very often in our society at all. So I actually really struggled with that and thought, I'm uncomfortable. I don't know how to do that. That doesn't make sense to me. And I really prayed into this and said, what do I do? What do I do with this God? And he gave me a different image, which I think kind of makes sense in our culture. And it comes from the animal kingdom. So I think some of us own dogs here, actually, don't we? But imagine that moment when a dog is at home and they're home alone, and then the owner comes to the door and opens the door, and the dog bounds up to them, lies at their feet and licks their shoes. And they're so excited to see them. And in that moment, they're expressing a whole range of things. They're saying, you're home, you're here, and I'm here, and you're here, and we're here together, and this is amazing. And you're my owner, you're my master, and I know you. And you're the one who makes me happy, and I'm so happy to see you. And we're together again. And it's great. And I wonder if that is what worship can be. Not an activity, it's not singing, it's not any other way that we might think of as worship, but it's a relationship. It's recognising who your owner is, who your master is, and bounding up to him with excitement. And if we look at the conversation that Jesus was having with this Samaritan woman, we start to see that this is exactly where Jesus is taking her. And it's a really interesting exchange. I mean, it's firstly interesting it happened at all because she was a Samaritan and a woman. So what was Jesus doing talking to her anyway? But then it's really exciting how he shows how well he knows her. And you'll remember this is the story where he says, go and call your husband. And she says, well, I can't because she's not married. And they get into this whole conversation about the pickle that she's got into. But then Jesus goes on to explain who he is. That he is the living water. She will never thirst again. And that in fact, he is the Messiah. And that is what gives us the reason for worshipping God, for running to him as our master, because he is the Messiah. And a couple of weeks ago, we remembered over Easter weekend, we remembered what Jesus did on Good Friday. We remembered how willingly he died for us, how he took on darkness and sin and evil and death. And he did all of that to free us from all of those things. And we remembered on Easter Day how he rose from the dead because he's God. And we remembered how what he did means that we can have that close relationship with God. We can bound up to him because we are free to do that. And when we do that, when we remember who he is and what he's done for us, we come to him with love and adoration and gratitude and wonder. He did something beyond our understanding, and he is someone beyond our understanding. And so it's this wonderful mix of running to him and licking his shoes because we can, but also coming in awe and wonder. It's almost like how we might approach a newborn baby, just gently and quietly thinking, this is so special, but I want to get close. So we see what Jesus is doing in this conversation is he's moving the woman's understanding of worship away from sacrifices on a mountain, going to a place, doing a thing for a distant God, instead towards a relationship with a very close God who's interested, who knows her. And he's saying, worship me. And this is regardless of her life situation, regardless of what pickle she's in, she is welcome to come to him. And later we see how so many other Samaritans came to faith because of her testimony. So worship has changed. It's not something done on a mountain. It's a person. It's a relationship with a person. But then in verse 24, he says, his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Well, the word spirit in Greek means breath. So spirit is really the thing that makes us alive. And the Holy Spirit is the breath of God and the breath that can live within us. And so worshipping the spirit gives this wonderful image of our breath and God's breath coming together, our livingness and God's livingness together. And when we sing worship songs, I don't know, sometimes it can feel like we're doing all the talking. It's just us praising God. But what this reminds us is that it's a conversation, our breath, his breath, together. So to worship in the Spirit is to run to God like that excited dog running to his owner. I'm here, you're here, this is great. Spend time together, let's talk. Let's be alive together. And it's not distant, it's close, it's a relationship. And then that third word, truth. Well, truth means reality, true to fact. And given that Jesus has been saying to the Samaritan woman that he is the Messiah, he's making it clear that worship needs to be aimed at God. And that's God the Father, who the Samaritan woman would have known, but also God the Son, Jesus, and that would have been new for her, and God the Holy Spirit, who can move within us. So to worship in truth is to recognise who he is. It's again that amazing thing of you're here and I'm here and I know who you are. You're my master and we're here together and this is great. But of course it isn't always great. Dogs don't always run up to their owners happy and excited. Sometimes they run up to them saying, actually, I've hurt my paw and I need you, or I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I'm glad you're here because I need your help. And that is worship in spirit and truth too, when we come to God and we say, I need you. So that's what's so special about worship. It's a relationship, it's a conversation, it's time together in each other's presence. It's saying, you're my owner, you're my master, and I want to be with you. And we can express that in singing, as we have been this morning, but we can express it in quiet, we can express it in running, in prayer, in peeling potatoes or pruning roses, whatever it is that you like to do, you can do it with God, and that is worship. But when we do sing another worship song later, let's just remember that God is right here. His breath and our breath, his livingness, our livingness, us together. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you that we can run up to you, knowing that you are delighted to see us. Thank you that we can come to you, our master, our friend, our Messiah. And thank you that as we come into your presence, we're coming to an interested God who knows us and loves us no matter what our life situation, no matter what mess we might be in. And Lord, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Open our eyes to see who you are and know who it is that is standing there with us when we worship.